sometimes the devotional values and the professional or social values may be conflicting. Say, we learn one thing from science, another from scripture, or, you know, we need to promote ourselves at work, but we are expected to be humble and devotee association. So how do we manage these things? See, what unifies it all is service attitude. You know, I am a servant of Krishna, whether it is a temple, or whether it is my office, whether it is my home. Wherever I am meant to serve. Now, how best I can serve in which situation, that will vary according to time, place, circumstance. In some cases, you know, as a service, we may have to speak formally, we have to speak assertively, even aggressively at times. So, at other times, as a service, we may take the lower position and just agree with whatever somebody else is saying, or let the other person's opinion prevail. The important thing is, so in a functional way, you know, we think of humility means, you know, it is not that humility means we let anyone and everyone trample on us, let our opinions go unheard. Humility, Prabhupada defines in 13.8-12, that is the Amanitvam Adambhitvam, that verse. He says humility means to not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. To not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. Prabhupada is not saying that we should not be honored by others. Nor should he be saying that if we are honored, we should not feel satisfied. He's simply saying that we should not be anxious for that. That should not be our driving purpose. The way I put it in one of my Gita Daily articles is, humility means to not let our ego interfere with our purpose. So I have a certain purpose to do, and I will not let my ego come in the way. So if you consider this understanding of humility, actually it works even in office. In the office, if I am a team leader, and if my subordinate gives some good suggestion, which is a plan better than my plan, then if I have humility, I'll take that suggestion. If my purpose is actually to get the team to perform well, and somebody is giving a better solution for that performance, then humility means I accept it. So to not let my ego come in the way of my purpose. So actually, humility, if we think simply that means, you know, let anyone and everyone trample on me, that is not humility. It is actually a caricature of humility. So humility in that sense is empowering. Because this is my purpose, and how can I achieve this purpose? So sometimes, you know, humility means that we tolerate dishonor also for the sake of humility, for the sake of our purpose. But sometimes, else people, if this is the place where I'm being dishonored, no, I cannot do my service here, I'll go somewhere else. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in India, he found that Indians were not taking him very seriously. He went to America. So that, what was he doing by that? It was in America, he got more receptive audiences. So his purpose was, it doesn't mean humility. If I go to a place where there is a program and where very few people come and those people are not interested, is it that, oh, you know, by going to this program and speaking where people are not interested, I'll be developing humility? Well, there are other ways to develop humility also. That is not the only way to develop humility. So the important thing is I do my purpose. So if my purpose requires me to work with some person who is very demanding, who is very irritating, and that's what my purpose is, I have to do the service with this person, then I will tolerate. Then I exhibit the humility by enduring whatever I have to deal with that person. But humility doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we have to be trampled upon. Humility means that our purpose is more important than our ego. And that way, if we see, we can avoid these conflicts. Not by denying the presence of those conflicts, but rather by going to their root. What is my purpose? So I'm serving in my office. If I'm serving in an office, at that time, you know, if the job requires me to promote myself, then well, I do that. Because that's what it requires. That's how I can, if I have that job is the way I'm serving Krishna, that the job is the way I have financial security by which I can serve Krishna, that job is the way by which I have a social position by which I can serve Krishna. So job is my service to Krishna in one sense. And therefore, let me do whatever it takes to do that job. So humility, basically, if we have certain stereotypical notions of humility, if we remove those notions and focus on the principle that humility means to not let my ego interfere with my purpose, then we can actually see how humility is very empowering in focusing on what is important for us. And with respect to science, I think specific issues will have to be dealt with in different ways. But broadly speaking, there is no need to highlight the conflict between science and scripture. The important thing is that, as I were you there in yesterday's class, I told, science is a tool for functioning in this world. And as far as the tool is concerned, we use it. But as far as understanding the ultimate purpose of life, science doesn't have us give any guidance for that. So there are some areas, so there is the jurisdiction of science, there is the jurisdiction of scripture. There are some places where there may be overlap, and that we'll have to negotiate. But we don't have to highlight that overlap, to focus on, okay. So Prabhupada was pragmatic, you know, the scriptures talk about Ayurveda, but Prabhupada did not emphasize that every devotee has to take Ayurveda only. The body is material, and whatever treatment works for the body, you take that. Now, Ayurveda has a different model of the body, allopathy has a different model of the body, of how the body is, what, you know, if you have to ask an allopath, you know, what is Jatharagni, digestive fire? See, there's no fire in the body, there's temperature, but there's no fire in the body. Because it's a different way of looking at the body. So Prabhupada was not very obsessed, Prabhupada was not very very particular about these things. So if we treat science as simply an operational model for functioning in this world, then whatever way, whatever tools we need to use from science, we use them. And for understanding the ultimate goal of life and pursuing that goal of life, we get knowledge from scripture. Then we can minimize the conflict. So we don't have to brand all scientists as faithless or atheistic. They are not. No, science is simply a profession for them. Now, some of them may be atheistic, but then some of them are theistic also. And most of them are actually neither atheistic nor theistic, you know. For them, science is simply a job. They do a job to get a living, to earn a living. So our conflict is not with science. Our conflict is with atheism. And there is an overlap between science and atheism, where atheistic scientists use science to promote their atheism. But science itself is not in confrontation with scripture. Science is simply a tool for operating in this world. And if you understand the jurisdictions, then a large amount of conflict can be minimized. Does that answer the question? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.